Matthew chapter 1. I'm just going to look at a couple of verses here, and let's pick up in verse 20. Okay? Matthew 1:20. But when he had considered this, that is Joseph, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until after she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So, Christmas. You know, Christmas is cool. All right? That's the theme, okay? You with me? You on board? Christmas is a good time. Everybody likes Christmas. I like Christmas. We talk about giving gifts on Christmas. We talked about, you know, some of the traditions a couple weeks ago about gift giving. For some people, it goes back to this account when these three guys, the Magi, show up. Sorry, we don't know the three guys. The scripture doesn't say there's three guys. It just says the Magi. They show up and they bring three gifts, which is why we assume that there's three guys. That's why all your mangers have your nativity sets have three guys, because it makes sense. And it would be like a whole bunch of them would be a mess. So those guys come because they had received a revelation that a king had been born, and that the background of these guys is totally a mystery. People have all kinds of theories about where those guys came from exactly, because it just says the East. They could have come from Persia. They could have come from farther away. They could have come from just east side of the Jordan. But they traveled. How long they traveled? Again, we're not altogether sure. When Herod asked, when did the star appear to you? They said, about 2 years ago. So have they been traveling for 2 years? Because that's a long time, people. I don't know. Maybe it took them a while to figure out what the star meant after it appeared to them. Maybe the star wasn't there all the time appearing to them. Maybe they only followed it for a day or two. Maybe they followed it for months. I don't know. What they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. People debate what these things meant. Like, why did they bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh? People say that they're symbolic, that the gold symbolizes royalty, that the frankincense is a perfume type thing, and myrrh are both sometimes associated with burial and ointments that go along with that and things like that. And so some people say, you know, these things were brought because they were thinking that they had received this revelation that Jesus was a king who was going to die. I don't know if they, honestly, I kind of doubt that they had this much revelation going on. I imagine that those three items could symbolize a lot of different things. Gold could symbolize royalty, but gold could just symbolize gold, which is pretty awesome on its own, okay? And so it's likely, to me, it seems likely that they brought those things because that's what they had. Because it's a portion of what they were, you know, where they came from. It was a portion of their wealth in one way or another. So they brought what they had to honor this one that was born that I imagine they didn't understand the scope of this kingship. Obviously, they thought it was very important. Obviously, they thought it was important enough to follow it for however long they did, that they followed it through the night, that they followed it, you know, through Jerusalem and past Herod and down to Bethlehem, and they found this little family, and they knew it was important, and they knew that they needed to honor this child that they understood to be a king. It all sounds pretty awesome. As we look at Jesus, you know, we look back at, you know, a Jesus in the manger and project all of Jesus' life onto him. You know, we think of Jesus growing up, Jesus suffering, Jesus doing miracles, Jesus walking and talking with his disciples, and Jesus, you know, doing all this stuff, and then Jesus being crucified for us, and Jesus dying for us, and Jesus raising from the grave. And we project all that stuff onto that baby, but these guys, I don't think they understood all that stuff. I think they just looked at a child that they knew for some reason was incredibly important and was going to be a king. But that was reason enough for them to travel as far as they did and to present the gifts that they did. So what I want to talk about is this whole gift idea. So we give gifts to each other, some of us. Some are better gift givers than others. It is not a competition. But if it was, I would have a belt. A big, awesome belt. Yeah, because I would win. Just saying. But it's not a competition. So don't get wrapped up in it. But but what seems most appropriate in gift giving is that we bring something to Jesus, like the Magi, the wise men. But we would bring something to Jesus. Now we have this problem. What do you bring to Jesus? Because not like those guys who thought Jesus is going to be a super important king. Our vision of Jesus is not so small. We understand who Jesus is. We understand that he grows up, that he suffers, that he teaches, preaches, that he reaches people that were unreachable. He loved the unlovable. He touched those who were untouched. He saved us from our sins by pouring out his own life. We understand that. So what can you bring as a gift to him? And this becomes a problem. What could you bring? As it seems to me like, you know, there's things that complicate gift giving to people. For me, it seems like, you know, the older they are and the more well off they are. Because as you grow older, whether you've got money or not, you either become content with what you have or you collect everything you need. And then what does somebody give you? I don't know. Like what do you need? I don't know. I'm getting to that point. What do I need? I don't need anything. I'm either content with what I have or I've just given up on all the stuff that I don't have desires for things. You know what I mean? When you're a child, everything in the Sears catalog is a desire. You know, everything you see is like, oh gosh, I need this. Everything that shows up on television between every cartoon and every commercial, I need that. I want that. I don't feel like that, and so it makes it hard when you know people have you know, certain amount of you know, material possessions, you know, that they can acquire on their own, that they've you know, got that point in their life where, you know what, if they need something, they go get it. If they want something, they go get it. Well, what do you get that person? It gets complicated at that point. I won't tell you what I would get them, because that would be giving away my secrets. But I'll tell you that it's complicated. It gets more complicated. And so then you look at Jesus, and Jesus has been around forever, and he has everything. All resources are his. What could you bring to Jesus? If the gold, the frankincense, and myrrh, if they symbolize things, what, well, then could you bring some of what it symbolizes? If the gold is just a portion of his wealth, can you bring more wealth to Jesus than he has or needs? No. If it symbolizes, let's say it symbolizes his good works, because the scripture in the New Testament talks about our good works would go through a fire and be refined as gold. Okay, so maybe the gold symbolizes our good works. Well, then, can you bring Jesus your good works? I'm certain you could. And here's something weird about that, though. When you flip to Isaiah 64, I hope this doesn't shock you or hurt your feelings. Isaiah 64, verse 6, says, "We have all become like one who is unclean. All our righteous deeds are as filthy rags." This is a reoccurring theme throughout Scripture, that there is no one who does right. There is no one who is pure of heart. That all of your good deeds are incomplete. Your best motivations are impure. That if we were to bring him a basket full of the best things we've ever done, it would be as a pile of filthy rags to the one who is perfect in every way. And yet, we have to bring him something. How can you recognize who he is better now than the wise men? We can recognize who Jesus is. How can we recognize who he is and then not bring him a gift? There is even a proverb that says, you should never appear before the king without a gift. A good proverb. So, this then is my suggestion. That the Lord doesn't want you to simply bring him a gift. He wants to have a gift exchange with you. And so, that can help us, because you can put limits on the gift exchange. That's why people do gift exchanges, right? When you're at work or at school or wherever, and you know the boss makes whatever he makes an hour or a year or whatever, and you make nothing or what you feel like is nothing, right? And so when you have a gift exchange, you go, what am I going to get that guy? I can't get him something. And so they say, okay, no, don't worry about it. We'll have a gift exchange. We'll set the limit. You set the limit. Let's say it's $15. It's $20. And so we'll all just get the same thing. We'll make an even exchange. And this is what Jesus has set up for you. Now, how about this? Jesus said that those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for me will gain it. That is, he will exchange with you life for life. That's why I'm going back to Exodus. Exodus, I think I mentioned it, Exodus 21, did I? And yet, I don't feel like that's the right verse. So here we are. 21:23. For those of you who thought there was no grace in the Old Testament, Exodus 21, verse 23. Exodus 21:23 says, if there is further injury, then you shall appoint as a penalty life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, and bruise for bruise. Merry Christmas. I haven't been so excited about a verse in a while. I get excited about verses, you know that. I love the scripture and it excites me. This verse here has excited me immensely this week. This is the grace of God. This is, we look at that and we look at it and think it is brutal and barbarian. And on our good days, we look at it and we say, well, you know what? It's justice. And every one of us, when we see something that injures our conscience, our spirit, when we see the kind of catastrophe, the tragedy that's taken place recently in our lives, in our world, this principle comes alive in us. Even if we don't ever want to say these words, this is what comes to life in us, and we say, justice. We have to have justice in this world. How can we have a world and not have justice? And this is the exact embodiment of justice. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. This is the gift exchange that God has set up for you. If you want to exchange with Him, He will exchange with you in like kind. He will give back to you exactly what you are willing to give to Him. Now, so those of us who are cheap, I am cheap. You don't want to be cheap when you exchange with Jesus. We can keep Jesus on a polite level. We can exchange with Jesus on a polite level, a cordial level. We can write Him a nice card saying, we like you, Jesus. It's nice that you did what you did. And we can send Him a card and say, thanks, I appreciate you. And Jesus will give you His appreciation back. And we can keep our relationship with Jesus on that level. But I am suggesting to you that there is something remarkable, something fantastic available to you because God is a just God and because He believes in eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth and life for life. You can make an exchange with Jesus any day of the week, but this Christmas, this season, right now, seems so appropriate. He asks you to set the limit on what you would like to exchange with Him. And so, one of the scriptures I gave you, Romans 5, it speaks of the gift of righteousness. That is to say, now, we've established that you have no righteousness, I have no righteousness, that everything that we've ever done is incomplete in His eyes, imperfect in the eyes of the perfect one, unholy in the eyes of the Holy One. And yet, if you will offer to Him all of your good works, all of your righteousness, that is, to come to Him, acknowledge just what we've said, that I have no righteousness, that all I've ever tried to do is incomplete. The best I've ever done has been corrupted. If you would offer that to him, then he would give to you, as it says in Romans, his gift of righteousness. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, life for life. You give him all of your junk, your incomplete righteousness, and he will give you complete and perfect righteousness. Not because the two righteousnesses are the same, but because you give all of your righteousness, he will give you all of his righteousness. That's perfect justice. That's how he'll do it. And you don't get it any other way. Only by coming to him like that. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. It says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. A gift of life. And so it's available. If you would give him your life, as Jesus said, those who keep their lives, seek their lives, will lose them. Those who lose their life for me will gain it. Jesus is willing to exchange with you life for life. If you would give him your life, where I live, what I eat, what I wear, where I work, where I go to school, all of this life, if you would give it to him, then he will give you all of his life. Life, eternal life, abundant life, complete life, the peace, the power, overflowing love, mercy, grace, all that's wrapped up in his life. And you can't get it by sending him a card. You get eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. If you give him your life, he will give you all of his life. In John chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. She says something that obviously doesn't make sense. And he says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who stands before you, he himself is a gift that he's willing to give. And so, what I mean, I'm separating this from life, because I don't mean what you eat or drink, wear, sleep. I mean your very heart. Your very desires, your very ambitions, your thoughts and imaginations. The secret you, the inside you, the parts that nobody else knows, the parts that you don't want anyone else to know, the thoughts that you've had, the whole you, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. If you give him you, your heart, if you would exchange with him your very life, your very heart, your soul, then he will give to you himself. I don't mean joy, peace, patience. I don't mean heaven. Beyond all this, I mean Jesus will give himself to you. That he, Scripture says, I will come to them, I will live in them. I will be their God, They will be my people. He will take you and live inside of you. That is what he would like to give. Those are the gifts that he has available. But you do not get that from a card. You will not get that from keeping Jesus at a polite distance. You don't get that from nodding at him as you walk past the manger. This is everything. And if you thought God in the Old Testament was a God that had no mercy, then we've all misunderstood. Because the very verses that we thought were the most brutal are the most merciful. That he would be willing to exchange with us life for life. That he would be willing to make this exchange with us is the most merciful, kind, and perfectly just thing that's ever come your way. He will give you everything if you will give it to him. He takes our filthy rags and gives us back gold. He takes our worthless works and gives us back salvation. He takes our empty hearts and gives us himself. He gives back in like kind. He gives back just as you give. So, I encourage you. I encourage you as the Lord works on your heart, as the Holy Spirit is working in you, and if he's working on you now, then make the exchange now. And if he works on you tonight, then make the exchange tonight. And if it's on Christmas morning, then push everything else aside and make this exchange. But listen to me. Don't let your life go by without having this time with Jesus and exchanging with Jesus and understanding that if we are missing something, it is because we held back. If we miss this, it's because we held back. Because he's not holding back anything from you. But in perfect justice, with perfect mercy, he patiently waits for you to make an exchange with him. Amen. The time of year that you have to remind your children.